Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, December 20th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is off today. Our producer, Sarah Tafoya, is with us. Thanks so much for joining us across our great country. It's great to be with you on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app this morning. Only five more days to go before Christmas. And once again, if you love Christmas music, we have it for you here at Relevant Radio. All you have to do is go to the Relevant Radio app or the relevantradio.com website. You will find hours and hours of beautiful carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional Christmas music to really get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner, which is available now on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Sarah, today is a big day for those who love to go Christmas caroling. It is National Go Caroling Day.
Yeah, and it's a good day to go out and carol unless you're in 0 degree temperature. Then bundle up because you might need to take some breaks between houses and huddle into a car, I think. And maybe even, and I always see this in movies. I've never seen this in real life. I don't know if this has gone out of fashion or not, but there's always those barrels that people are starting fires and warming their hands over. Do we do this anymore? I don't think we're doing that anymore, but find a way to stay warm if you're caroling, because depending on where you are in the United States, it's kind of chilly. So just be ready. It's good to go caroling, though. That's fun to sing for everybody. I just wonder how many people are answering the door when you're singing, going door to door, because I think sometimes people are like, yeah, I'm not answering. It's probably someone trying to sell me something. So I wonder how many people answer.
I know from experience I've actually gone caroling when you ring the doorbell and you're caroling and people hear the beautiful music coming from the outside. They get intrigued. They look out the window, and when they hear that it's Christmas carolers, usually they're very, very open to it. And it's a beautiful thing if you can do it. You were just playing White Christmas, which is something that I did not know, that White Christmas by Bing Crosby is the number one Christmas song, holiday single of all time in the United States. 50 million copies sold worldwide, and that's according to the Guinness Book of World Records.
That's pretty impressive for Mr. Crosby, but I know he's probably not the only person that has sung that song over time. Man, lots of people. When it's a classic. Everyone and their brother and their cousin and their singing that song. So there's many versions of every single Christmas song. Some are our favorites and some not so much.
Which is your favorite, Sarah?
Ooh, it's difficult to say. I do like several different types of Christmas. Sometimes I like obscure ones that people have not really, aren't mainstream, because you hear those so often it kind of gets played out. So I do like Little Saint Nick. That's a fun one. Or Run, Run, Rudolph by Chuck Berry. That's a good one. I don't know, John, what are some of your favorites?
One of my favorites is Joy to the World, obviously. It's a very uplifting, traditional Christmas carol. In fact, it's on the top 10 lists of all-time top Christmas carols. Number one on that list is Deck the Halls, followed by We Wish You a Merry Christmas, Jingle Bells, and Angels We Have Heard on High, also a traditional song. So there's many, many to choose from if one feels compelled to go out and do some caroling on this day.
There's almost too many. I mean, I don't know if you can have too many Christmas songs, but there's so many it's hard to like pick, because there's like thousands, it seems like. And every year some artist is thinking, what can I come up with that someone hasn't done before? And they're always trying to come up with a new one. So there's so many out there. I mean, I guess that's good for Christmas time radio. We have lots to choose from, and some of those stations that switch over to just Christmas music from sometimes after Halloween, which is just obscene. But Christmas music for a very long period of time, it does get you in a good mood. And there is that one song, I Wish It Was Christmas All Year Round. I do like that one because it's so true. If we were so giving and generous and have those loving feelings that we just seem to naturally have around Christmas time, thanks to baby Jesus' birthday, it would be a much better world. That's for sure.
Amen. And if you're going to go caroling today, bundle up, because the cold weather is coming. That big winter storm is on its way. Between Wednesday and Friday, we're expecting a big-time snow storm across our country. Hundreds of flights have already been canceled. They're expecting 113 million travelers during this Christmas weekend, with some bone-chilling temperatures as cold as 30 below. It's been a while since we've experienced that.
Yeah, probably close to about a year around this time of year is when those temperatures start to creep up into our atmosphere. But yeah, just, you know, make sure you have the gloves and the extra gloves and the scarf around the face and those little hand warmers you can get at the store, and then you can break them and they kind of can keep your hands warm or your feet warm, because you don't want to lose a toe or a finger this time of year. Not good.
For sure. So stay warm, and we will continue to bring you some of our favorite Christmas songs and carols here in the upcoming days. And don't forget, go to the Relevant Radio app or the website. We've got some fantastic music to share with you, and greetings from all the different hosts here on the network. So that's what makes it really special. So thanks, Sarah.
You got it.
We begin every hour as we always do, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, remembering that every day is a gift. We always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Luke 1:35. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence, the holy offspring to be born will be called the Son of God." Whenever we pray the Angelus, we are praying and meditating on the incarnation of Jesus. That also goes for whenever we pray the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary. We remember the incarnation 53 times every time we pray a Hail Mary. In these final 5 days of Advent, let's ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to help us meditate on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the reason for the season. We always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
What child is this who lay to rest on?
Yes, the celebration of the solemnity of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ is upon us in only 5 days. What can we learn from the one and only Saint Francis of Assisi about the love of God made manifest in the birth of Jesus Christ and our Christmas response? A resident lovologist and love evangelizer, Martha Fernandez-Hardina, is with us live to share some thoughts to help us get ready to ready our hearts and homes for the glorious Christmas season. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, former director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for being with us once again here during these last few days of Advent. Great to be with you once again. Only 5 more days to go.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you and with our listeners. And it is exciting. Christmas is upon us.
It surely is. And Martha, I love that you want to bring in St. Francis of Assisi and the connection that he had to Christmas that a lot of folks are not aware of.
Yes, St. Francis of Assisi, I like to call him the one and only Saint Francis, the great saint, loved and beloved by so many. We see him, the statues of Saint Francis, even in the yards and the properties of individuals who are not even Catholic. So he's a great saint and very beloved. And many people don't know that he is very intimately connected to Christmas, because back in 1223 in Greccio in Italy, he set up, as far as we know, the first nativity scene. He had the celebration of Christmas with the Christ child and sheep and so forth, in commemoration of the birth of our Lord. And precisely now, this coming year, 2023, Franciscans across the globe will be celebrating the 800th anniversary of that beautiful episode in the life of Saint Francis and his early followers, when the child Jesus was celebrated in that manner in Greccio. And not only that, but we'll also be celebrating the 800th anniversary of the rule, the first rule of Saint Francis. And for me, it's very special because, as I've said before in our weekly episode, I'm a secular Franciscan, or a third order Franciscan, like so many other men and women who are in the lay state, married or unmarried, men and women who follow Saint Francis. So for him, the nativity scene was not merely decorative, as it is for so many of us. It's like one more Christmas decoration. For him, it was highly devotional, intensely devotional. It was a real representation of the love of God come to us and made manifest in Jesus Christ in a tangible manner, and a representation of the humility and the simplicity and the poverty that our Lord Jesus Christ chose to be born in and to live with. And it's a call to all of us to come, let us worship. Come, let us adore him. Come to Bethlehem, come to Jesus, literally come to Jesus. Have a come to Jesus moment this Christmas and every day of the year, and let yourself be led and fed by our Lord, the bread of life.
It's so interesting. Can you imagine what motivated Saint Francis to celebrate Christmas the way that he did?
Well, he actually had taken a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and there he had been struck by the utter simplicity and poverty in which our Lord, again, as I said, was born and chose to live his life. And so witnessing that, he desired to keep Christ alive in his heart, in our hearts, in his community's hearts, in our minds. And so it was an attempt to make Christ come alive. And to make him and the faith come alive and remain alive in each one of us. And so he also, St. Francis, we see in this gesture, but also throughout his entire life, that he understood well, he had an intense sense of the incarnational nature and the incarnational aspects of Christianity, of our faith, that Christ made God tangible, made God touchable, made God, we could now see and hear and touch. As St. John himself, the apostle, the beloved disciple, says that we, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, what we have touched, and it's Christ who is the life of the world. And so St. Francis wanted to make Christ come alive for us in this manner as well. And so that's how he celebrated this Christmas, with a God that you could see and touch and feel and be touched by.
Well, I'm sure St. Francis touched many hearts by celebrating Christmas in this manner. Can you talk a little bit about what happened according to witnesses?
Well, miracle of miracles, we desire that Christ would come alive in our hearts and remain alive in our minds, and yet he apparently, literally, the Christ child came alive in his arms when he was carrying the child that was in the crib, in the manger, at the Greccio. Jesus actually came alive in the arms of St. Francis, which was witnessed and testified by people who were there. And so I believe also St. Anthony of Padua, this is a side note, St. Anthony of Padua, who's also Franciscan, also had the Christ child come alive. But what a beautiful thing that St. Francis, who was so in tune with our Lord and who had this desire to make the celebration of Christmas lively actually had that miracle happen when the Christ child came alive. And in a sense, John, that is exactly what our Lord, in a real sense, what our Lord and God our Father want to see happen in each one of our lives this Christmas season. And every single day and every time, especially if we go to the Holy Eucharist, the Lord wants Jesus Christ, our Lord, wants to come alive and be real in your life, and not simply a remembrance. For example, a Mass is not simply a remembrance of something that happened at the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. The Eucharist is not just a symbol or a sign. It is a sign and a symbol, but it's much more. It is an actual presentation again. It's happening again. We're entering into the mystery of that one first Mass and of that holy sacrifice on Calvary. And also, when we celebrate Christmas, we ought to have a real sense, like St. Francis, that Christ is alive and he lives in heaven and he lives in the soul of every believer and he lives in the Eucharist, in the Holy Eucharist, where he is alive. And so this Christmas, we can pray, we can ask the Lord, we can desire to have our Lord Jesus Christ become as real and as alive in our hearts, in our minds, in our families, in our communities, in our parishes, in our dioceses, in our priests, in our bishops, in all our lay faithful, as real and alive in our life today as he did come alive in St. Francis's arms 800 years ago.
Well, Martha, it's so fitting that we're talking about St. Francis and his inventing the first nativity scene. Here at Relevant Radio, every year we give away hundreds of nativity scenes, these beautiful nativity scenes to our listeners. And there was one that was left over last week, and on Friday it was raffled and everybody could put in for the raffle. Would you believe I actually won it? And it was so exciting.
Oh,
I went home and installed my beautiful nativity scene, and I've already gotten comments from neighbors with the beautiful angel, and baby Jesus is not in there yet, but Joseph and Mary, and it looks fantastic. And how appropriate that we should be talking about this morning.
Oh, that is so beautiful. As you were speaking, I was about to say, should I give you my address? But no, I guess Jesus already has a home in your home.
Oh, yes. Oh, El Niño Jesús, so as terrific. We say in Espanol.
Oh, bendito sea Dios. You are a blessed man.
Well, Martha, and so are you. But I want to get your recommendations for what folks can do this Christmas to ensure that Christ comes alive within their hearts and their souls.
Come to Bethlehem. Come to Bethlehem. Come to Jesus. Come and have a moment set aside amidst the busyness, the shopping, the decorating, the cooking, the gathering, the baking, whatever else you're doing. Come to Jesus. Set aside some quiet time, me time with Jesus, you one-on-one time with Jesus. Even if you're a busy mother, you're a busy father, maybe you're still working at whatever, all the way up until Christmas Day, because this year Christmas Day is on Sunday and Christmas Eve on Saturday. So many of you might be working up until the very last minute, but please come to Bethlehem. Do as the shepherds who were led by the angels who brought glad tidings of great joy, and allow yourself to hear the angels inviting you and St. Francis saying, come to Jesus, come to Bethlehem. Kneel before him like the shepherds. Kneel in adoration. Be in awe, be in wonder of what Mary, our mother, has in her arms and is extending to you to carry her child, to hold the child, Jesus. Have the sense that St. Joseph must have had, who was there, and he knew that this child was not his, was God Almighty's father. God Almighty was his father, and yet had given him the role of the caretaker and of the guardian of the Redeemer, and allow yourself to bow before the Lord. Most certainly come to Jesus in confession. If you haven't done so already and you are Catholic, come and lay at the feet of our Lord all of the burdens and the sins and the things that separate you from him, and dispose yourself to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist and receive that God that can be seen and heard and touched and, in a sense, savored. Receive Jesus into your heart. Make some time and make a review of this last year and make a good commitment to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into this new year that's going to begin in a bit.
Martha, I'm so glad that you brought up confession. I've been talking about it for weeks. I've always been inspired by Father Rocky, who says if you do nothing else during Advent, go to confession if you want to have a blessed Christmas. So that's a great recommendation, and I followed my own advice this weekend. I made it to confession. It's a really good feeling to prepare for the birth of our Lord with a nice, clean heart.
Yes, and not only does Christ come more alive in your heart, but you come alive because sin deadens us.
For sure. Closing thoughts here in these final days, only five more days to go in the Advent season as we begin the Christmas season, which is not just one day for us Catholics.
That's correct. We have 16 days to celebrate. My closing thoughts are this. You know that I'm an evangelizer through and through, so I'm inviting each one of you, come and see and go and tell. Come and see the Christ child. Come and see the wonders of God. Come and see what God has done for you. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And as you come and see the love of God and the goodness of God and the salvation of God there in the manger and that love of Christ that is extended throughout the whole liturgical year, then go and tell this Christmas season, these 16 days that we'll have of Christmas, go and tell at least five people the glad tidings of great joy that have come to us, that Christ is born for us, that a Savior has been born for us, because no birth of Christ, no Savior, no Savior, no salvation, no salvation, no eternal life, no eternal life with God, that means eternal damnation. So come and see and go and tell, and let others hear from your lips, remember you are loved.
And so are you. Martha, again, thank you for all your many contributions here this year. So much appreciated. It's always a joy to be with you. Many blessings the rest of these next few days here in Advent, and a very Merry Christmas to you. Feliz Navidad.
Thank you so very much, and to you as well. Feliz Navidad. Que Dios los bendiga. God bless you all.
God bless you too. Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and the host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic apologist William Albrecht is going to be with us to talk about the many Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, every single one of them fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. So stay with us, America, as the final half hour of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air as we continue to get ready for Christmas, just days away. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off today. Sarah is with us. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Some biblical scholars believe that there are more than 300-plus prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. These prophecies are specific enough that the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling even a handful of them, let alone every single one of them, is staggeringly improbable, if not impossible. If you only take just eight prophecies, the prospect that anyone would satisfy those eight prophecies is just one in 10 to the 17th power. We're talking about a lot of zeros, folks. It is staggering. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. I recently spoke to Morning Air contributor and Catholic convert, our resident apologist, William Albrecht, about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. William is an international speaker and debater, and he's participated in many, many live and moderated debates over the years. He runs a fantastic website called patristicpillars.com, which is dedicated to the early church fathers. He's also the author of several books, including The Secret History of Transubstantiation, Pulling Back the Veil on the Eucharist. Listen to my conversation on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus with William Albrecht. Good morning, Brother William. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
Great to be with you, John. Thrilled to be with you. Thrilled to be talking about really an incredibly vital topic to our Catholic faith.
Absolutely. It's so easy to get carried away with all the lights and the decorations and the food and the Christmas trees and all the stuff. But we have to keep an eye on the reason for the season, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I thought we would dive into what the incarnation actually means. Can you, first of all, explain for us what is the incarnation?
Definitely. And I love to break it down by pointing people directly to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And when we look to the compendium, our beautiful compendium to the Catechism, we read in section 214 to 217 and 231, it says, God is truth itself, and as such, he can neither deceive nor be deceived. He is light, and in him there is no darkness, quoting 1 John 1:5. Then it says, the eternal Son of God, the incarnation of wisdom, was sent into the world to bear witness to the truth. So this is the heart of the incarnation. Our Lord and Savior, our God, Jesus Christ, has eternally existed, but he came into his own creation in the flesh through the Virgin Mary. That is what we call the incarnation. And it really, it is something magnificently beautiful. As you pointed out, what a beautiful season. Gorgeous Christmas trees, gorgeous decorations, but we need to realize the reason for the season. And at times, brother, as you pointed out, at times people tend to not understand, what do we mean? Okay, what does it mean by Christ coming into creation? Does it mean that he began to exist at that time? No, it means he came into his creation, but has eternally existed as God, eternal God, but of course, his existence with a human nature, that began in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Immaculate Mother Mary.
He became flesh and dwelt among us. I've heard it described as he pitched his tent among us.
Yes, without a doubt. And this really is a great, great point, because people will then point to the New Testament. And then we may have our Jewish friends and maybe other people that are looking at it from the outside in and wondering, well, you know, where do we find this ever implied in the Old Testament? And you do find it indeed in the miraculous sign given to you in Isaiah 7, where it says, then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. Well, this is what Emmanuel means, brother. It means God with us. This prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament, and we have it right there in the Gospel of St. Matthew, where we're told directly, this means God with us. So there's a prophecy. It's right there in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 7, and that great sign is fulfilled. And here's the incredible thing, brother. Not only is it fulfilled in our Lord becoming incarnate for us, but incredible how his Immaculate Mother Mary, our Immaculate Mother Mary, plays such a vital role in these amazing prophecies as well. So interconnected with her son that really they are inseparable. That really is amazing, isn't it?
It really is amazing. And, you know, the more you study sacred scripture, sacred tradition, the more in amazement one can be when you see all the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament that were fulfilled by only one person in the history of the world, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Some scholars say there's as many as 450-plus prophecies, every single one of them fulfilled by Jesus the Messiah. When I discovered this a number of years ago, I was just absolutely, you know, fascinated by the connection between some of these Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament by only one person, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Incredible point there, without a doubt. The Old Testament is full of prophecies, and we find these prophecies fulfilled in our Lord in the New Testament. How amazing, because we even have one. You know, we just read Isaiah 7. Now we're looking at Isaiah 9:6, where it says, a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And this is talking about the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the amazing thing. He's also called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. But we point out that this does not mean he is God the Father, but rather Everlasting Father means he is eternal God, and uses the title Everlasting Father because he is a teacher as well. Prince of Peace, as we know, our Lord is the Prince of Peace. So these Old Testament prophecies we see, brother, come to be fulfilled in the New Testament in a magnificent way. We know that not only biblically, but historically, there's only one person that can fit all of these descriptions, all of these foreshadowings and prophecies. That is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Mighty God. He will sit on the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. A reminder of the solemnity of Christ the King that we celebrated just last Sunday. Such a special time. There is so much to unpack here in these scriptures. And really, our church has such beautiful teachings. There's at least three specific facts that I wanted you to share with our audience about the incarnation of Jesus.
Definitely. The incarnation is incredibly important. But what does it really imply? What is really packed up in there when we talk about the incarnation? It is vitally important to realize that, number one, we're talking about the divine person of Jesus Christ. And remember, terminology is so important. That's why it really is important to stick to the terminology that the Catholic Church has laid out according to scripture and sacred tradition. Number two, it is talking about also the human nature of Jesus Christ. And number three, the hypostatic union of the human with a divine nature in the divine person of Jesus Christ. They are united in a perfect manner. This is what it means when we talk about the hypostatic union. Christ was fully God and he was fully man. These are very important facts of the incarnation, and we believe as faithful Catholics, as Bible believing Christians that hold to the Word of God, which is written and which is oral, which is also sacred tradition, we believe we can show this definitively.
The New Testament, of course, has a lot to say about the incarnation. Can you share with us, beginning with the Apostle St. John and what he wrote about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Goodness, John, what a beautiful passage. In John 1, we have the famous and incredibly beautiful testimony from St. John, who says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, here's the amazing thing. When it says the Word in the beginning was the Word, it uses the Greek logos. It is talking about Christ, and it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. Here is the amazing thing, John. the form of the Greek, the way the Greek is laid out, it literally means before the world was ever even created, the Logos, Christ, existed. Now, of course, he didn't exist in the flesh as he would later come into the flesh, but it tells you right here, even before creation, he existed and he was present in existence with God. This is just really magnificent because it's identifying him not only as equal to in existence in eternal glory with God the Father, but it's also telling you that he would come into existence later, as it tells you in the Gospel of St. John. Just so much magnificent theology packed into this beautiful, beautiful book of the Bible.
William, you'll love this. My license plate, Illinois license plate, is John 1:1, in honor of wow. that verse that you just shared with us.
That is, and you realize, and what a magnificently beautiful verse. That is incredible that your license plate really is that, because I imagine you were so impacted by the beautiful theology found in this, in these verses, John, because really, this is the heart of our faith when we talk about the incarnation. So beautiful are these passages of sacred scripture.
Absolutely. Along with a relevant radio bumper sticker, sometimes people will wave to me like a thumbs up. Hey, I love your license plate. They'll shout out the window. So you never know. It's a form of evangelization, William.
It really, really is. And a lot of rich theology packed in to the Gospel of John. And people also look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, another incredible area, because in John 8, we read, particularly in verse 40, it says, "But now you seek to kill me." This is Christ talking. "A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am," Jesus said to them. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John, what we're being told literally here, he tells them that he knew Abraham at this particular time in history. Abraham had been long dead. He is identifying himself as being that incredible angel of the Lord of the Old Testament. But when people hear angel of the Lord, they think, well, what are you talking about, Christ being an angel? No, the Greek word for angel is angelos. It means the one that has been sent. He was sent by the Father, but he's always been eternal God. That figure in the Old Testament is identified as eternal God. And guess what? In the New Testament, Christ says, "I was that figure. I am God. I am the God that spoke with Abraham." That is why they pick up those stones, because they believe it to be blasphemy. But us as Catholics, brother, we realize this to be true, and we experience this beautiful truth every time we attend Holy Mass, as we realize our Lord is truly present in the body and the blood which we find there in the Eucharist.
There is so much to talk about. There's so many scriptures. St. Paul writes about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, so much we can unpack. Before we run out of time, can you share with us a little bit about the early church fathers, which I know is your specialty, and what the fathers said about the incarnation, maybe beginning with St. Ignatius of Antioch?
What a great, incredible early church father, John, as you know. The amazing Bishop of Antioch, St. Ignatius, who is considered an apostolic church father, writing very early in the 100s, he says in his magnificent testimony, Letter to the Magnesians, he says in chapter 6, "The ministry of Jesus Christ, who was with the Father before the beginning of time, and in the end was revealed, do all then imitating the same divine conduct. Pay respect to one another, and let no one look upon his neighbor after the flesh, but continually love each other in Jesus Christ." And he goes on, he says in chapter 3 in his epistle to Polycarp, "Look for him who is above all time eternal and invisible, yet who became visible for our sake." There you have it, right there. He became visible for our sake, But this is the incarnation, because he is above all time, eternal and invisible, by the very fact that by his divine nature, he is eternal God. And you find this teaching, brother, in all of the early church fathers. And the reason you find it there is because they were taught and trained by the apostles, and then their disciples taught and trained others in an unbroken line, what we call apostolic succession. And this is a biblical and ancient teaching, and really the heart of our beautiful Catholic faith.
Absolutely. St. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of the apostle St. John. So how much better than to learn it from the lips of the beloved disciple himself? And Barnabas was a companion of St. Paul, and he also wrote a letter.
He sure did. And in his epistle, he talks about the pre-incarnate Christ, talking about how he existed eternally as God. And he says, he is the Lord of the whole world, to whom God set at the foundation of the world, let us make man in our image and likeness. And then he talks about Christ talking with Moses before the incarnation, receiving from the Father the command to redeem us, clearly pointing to the book of Genesis. This is amazing, because he's talking about Christ being present even before creation. We have these amazing testimonies, as you know, brother, in these early church fathers. We even have the magnificent Bishop of Sardis, Melito of Sardis, who says, this is the one who made the heavens and the earth, and who in the beginning created man. And he talks about him coming into his creation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this really, this amazing theology, as you pointed out, brother, is all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and it is rooted in our sacred tradition as well. I would hope that everybody, if you are able to physically, you are able to health-wise get to Mass and realize, as we come into the beautiful season of Advent, the true reason for the season. Really, this is a beautiful time, and it's an incredibly beautiful time to realize what the Bible is saying about our faith. And I say that we are Bible-believing Christians because we are, because the Catholic Church is a church that puts the Bible together. But we are not Bible-only Christians. That's a very important distinction. But as we delve into the Bible in this beautiful time of Advent, as we read the writings of the early church fathers as well, let us realize the beautiful truth that our Lord came in the flesh for our sake, but he remains and always will be eternal God, the God-man, our incarnate Savior, Jesus Christ.
And that was my conversation on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus, the reason for the season, with Catholic apologist William Albrecht, the author of The Definitive Guide to Solving Biblical Questions About Mary. Sarah, we started the hour talking about this National Go Caroling Day. It's also that time of year for Christmas concerts at school.
Yeah, and actually, now that you say that, my kids are doing theirs tonight, so I better make sure I have them dressed and ready. Yeah, no, they're going to be doing some cute little Christmas songs. You know, I know pre-K, I've been hearing in the background of my house people practicing Away in the Manger, so looking forward to that. And Oh Come All Ye Faithful, all the classics I'm sure will pop up. So yeah, everybody's probably dealing that around the country, and that is just one of appearances and grandparents, their favorite time of year.
Absolutely. It's so heartwarming to see little children singing as a chorus, singing Christmas songs.
And of course, they always sound better in a group as opposed to on their own, although there are those brave souls that get picked out to be in the solo. So good luck to everybody out there doing their Christmas concerts. If you haven't already done them or are coming up, do your best. You can do it.
Five more days to go. A quick thought.
Well, just get all your ducks aligned. I know I have many sheets of paper that I need to do all my last-minute things. I'm trying to cross them off. And I'm sure as we're all working together, just make sure we take a few moments to say thank you and to baby Jesus as he comes into our hearts.
Absolutely. That is what it's all about. And that's what we try to do here every day, to help you get ready for the birth of our Lord. And now it is time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Christmas Invitation by Ron Hutchcraft. It was the biggest night of the year in a little town called Cornwall. It was the night of the annual Christmas pageant. It's an especially big deal for the children in town. They get to try out for the roles in The Christmas Story. Everybody wants a part. Which leads us to the problem of Harold. Harold really wanted to be in the play too, but he was kind of a slow and simple kid. The directors were ambivalent. I mean, they knew Harold would be crushed if he didn't have a part, but they were afraid he might mess up the town's magic moment. Finally, they decided to cast Harold as the innkeeper, the one who turns Mary and Joseph away the night Jesus is to be born. He had only one line: "I'm sorry, we have no room." Well, no one could imagine what that one line was going to do to everyone's Christmas. The night of the pageant, the church was packed as usual. The Christmas story unfolded according to plan. Angels singing, Joseph's dream, the trip to Bethlehem. Finally, Joseph and Mary arrived at the door of the Bethlehem Inn. Looking appropriately tired, Joseph knocked on the inn door, and Harold was there to open the door. Joseph asked his question on cue: "Do you have a room for the night?" Harold froze. After a long pause, Harold mumbled his line: "I'm sorry, we have no room." And with a little coaching, he shut the door. The directors heaved a sigh of relief, prematurely. As Mary and Joseph disappeared into the night, the set suddenly started shaking again and the door opened. Harold was back. And then, in an unrehearsed moment that folks would not soon forget, Harold went running after the young couple, shouting as loud as he could, "Wait, don't go, Joseph. Bring Mary back. You can have my room." I think little Harold may have understood the real issue of Christmas better than anyone else there that night. How can you leave Jesus outside? You have to make room for Jesus. And that may be the issue for you this Christmas. What will you do with this Son of God who came to earth to find you? Jesus is the one who trades a throne room for a stable and the praise of angels for human mockery. This is the Creator who gives himself on a cross. The Bible gives us the only appropriate response from Galatians 2:20. "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You look at what Jesus did to pay for your sin on that cross, and you say those life-changing words, "For me." Jesus is at your door this Christmas. Maybe he's been knocking for a long time. Maybe he won't keep knocking much longer. All your life, even the events of the last few months, have been to prepare you for this crossroads moment with Jesus, your Savior. Don't leave him outside any longer. Open the door this Christmas day. "Jesus, I cannot keep you out any longer. Come on in. You can have my room, my life."
And our thanks to Glenn, who is off on Christmas vacation a few days early, but he left us that beautiful story corner. Now, during these last days of Advent, let's remember Christ, the reason for the season, by praying the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. So that'll do it for this Tuesday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Wednesday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.